From Raleigh, North Carolina, it's The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack, a podcast dedicated to the show Lost on ABC. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm Jack.
Why are you so lethargic?
I just had a bunch of turkey and wine.
Dude, it's only 2 o'clock on a Sunday.
It's 1996.
No, it's not 1996.
Yes, it is. And right now I'm eating turkey and drinking wine.
Okay.
It makes me a little tired.
Not 1996. What's going on here, Jack?
I don't know. I'm confused. I feel like I'm going in and out.
You watched the concert too many times, and now your brain just reset back to 1996 pre-Lost.
Yeah, just stay there.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Monday
Lost
edition.
What is Lost?
Of the Lost Podcast with Jay. My name's Jay, and then Jack.
And I don't know who I am.
And I think a lot of people still out
Wait
there.
Wait for
just
my
like,
phone call. You got it. I'm going to call you in 8 years.
Still blown away by last Thursday's
episode.
Wouldn't
it have been fun if she said, I'm going to be busy that day?
What do you mean?
If Penny just would have said, you know what? No, I'm busy that day.
Christmas Eve, you know.
Call me on the 25th. Call me Christmas Day. I'm going to be busy.
Yeah.
I think it would have been funny.
Yeah, it would have been not really. But hopefully you guys have seen the episode a couple more times. I think I've watched it like 2 more times. How many times have you watched it now?
I've watched it a total of 3 times.
Yeah, just an amazing episode.
3 times
and
a
even,
lady.
And even all those times watching it still gives me a headache.
I definitely enjoyed it better the second, third time than I did the first time.
Yeah.
I had a headache before we started. I started watching
it. Wow, so you're maybe that was like a flash forward. You already knew it was going to be coming.
Yeah. Some people, those episodes, like,
there's a flash forward headache.
Come on, get back to the love story on the island part. I understand that a lot more.
There
than
was
I
an article on EW.com where somebody sent in saying that they think Lost is too dramatic. There's just too much stuff going on right now. And I think the complaints have come full circle. People used to always complain not enough was happening, and now just one person was complaining that too much is going on.
I know that some of the emails I've been going back with people. I said, you know, I just rather go back and watch Happy Days. It's 22 minutes, and I'm done.
I love it.
As soon as the episode's done, I go, hey, I'm done.
It's the best television show on TV.
Of course, we used to theorize, how was Arthur Fonzarelli able to hit the jukebox machine and make it? Because I'd hit it and I'd just break the glass.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know how he was able to do it. So there was, you know, a lot of theories
there
back
theory,
there, too.
Okay.
So.
But Lost, I think, definitely trumps that.
Okay.
But we have a lot of stuff to talk about today. We got a lot in Lost in Review, a lot of Easter egg stuff to go over. Look at this, Jack. This is all Easter eggs.
Wow. That is a lot of Easter egg stuff.
And we have next on Lost coming
the
up
The TV
on
show.
Lost. A lot of listener feedback and a listener theory of the week. So, Jack, what do you say we get into that stuff?
I'm ready.
But before we get into anything today... we actually have a new t-shirt design to unveil.
Just in time for spring. It's starting to warm up everywhere.
Yep. You know? And it is called, titled by Sam himself, it's called Wartime. And it kind of
that's nice.
It's like an army green, but it kind of represents, you know, the kind of war that's building up on the island of Lost between the Jack and Locke side. And it has helicopters and stuff. You can look at it right now in the AAC feed. It's a pretty awesome t-shirt. It has two tone colors in it.
I can't wait to get my extra small one.
But it looks really awesome, and I can't wait to get mine. So yeah, if you'd like to help us out, buy Jay Jank t-shirt.
Yeah.
And if you'd also like to help Jack out, donate hair.
Wait, I have hair. It's 1996.
Oh, you didn't have hair then either. All right, Jack, what do you say we get into Lost in Review?
Yeah, whatever.
All right, here we go.
Each week there's one thing to do. It's none other than Lost in Review. We take a look back at last week's episode. It's Lost in Review.
You know the best thing about 1996?
What?
This song wasn't around. I think everyone will agree, back in 1996 there were happier times. No one had to listen to this song.
All right. It's Lost Interview Ever. Time. Got a lot of stuff to look back on last week's episode, The Constant. Now, remember, I don't think I've said it this season. For those of you that are subscribed to the AAC feed and have iPods, like an iPod Photo, an iPod Video, or an iPod Touch or an iPhone, When you hear the camera,
if you're one of the cool cats,
if you hear the camera shutter, that means a picture is on the actual album artwork for you to look at.
Yeah.
And look at what we're discussing about.
Something that enhances the show.
Yes, and that's why it's an enhanced podcast.
Wow. Really?
So for those of you maybe subscribed to the MP3 feed and want to check that out, if you have any of the newer, the iPod Nanos, basically like any iPod that's been made in the last couple of years, you can check it out on iTunes, the Super Deluxe feed. And most people are subscribed to that one anyway, AAC feed. I figured I'd explain that now. I don't think I've done that yet this season.
You have not done that.
Also, I want to give a thanks to Colleen, who helped me with a lot of these. Because I'm too lazy to do it. All right, so first up, Daniel's...
Is she working on your top 40 movie list of all time?
No, that's all me, baby.
I see Terms of Endearment on there or something like that. I know.
All right, Daniel's cheat sheet first up. It said 40 miles north at 305 degrees, 7 kilometers east. Now, if you look at the picture of the little gauge knob thing there, it wasn't really on 305, or was it? So did it veer off course? Do you think he veered off course? And that's why Desmond had the thing.
I say no.
No? Nice. You think it's just going to happen anyway?
I think it's just going to happen anyway.
All right. Okay. Some tattoos of the crew members. Is it Kimney or how you say his name?
I thought you were going to look it up.
What?
It's
Kimney. It's Kimney. I've watched it.
All right. Times.
Why do you got to be so angry?
1996. I was very angry.
And in the background of the picture, you can actually see a no smoking sign. So once again... No smoking. It's subliminal messages. They're trying to tell us not to smoke.
You know, I saw that, but I didn't want to bring it up because I took so much heat the last time. So I just I left it alone.
Okay.
No smoking on a freighter.
Well, maybe there's like big gasoline.
That could be
reserves there or something like that.
I think a sailor.
Isn't oxygen tanks too? You don't want smoke around those because like they blow up or whatever.
I guess. Do you think sailors? Oh, they're out there. They're smoking.
All right. I don't know. I'm not a sailor. Next up is Daniel's notebook. First up, his setting for the machine, 2.342, two of the numbers, 23 and 42.
Uh-huh.
Desmond Hume as his constant. Look at that note. Now, there's a lot of discussion on that, which we'll go to the phone calls.
Yeah.
And also, there's the equations there in the notebook are similar to the Lorenz variant. And I looked it up to try and discuss it today, but oh my God, I had a headache. So you can check that out.
That's the point of this. They should have just, instead of the constant, it should have been called the headache.
Yeah. Maybe we'll title that episode today's episode.
The headache. I think that's what it should be called.
Yeah. It's the Lorenz variant. You can look it up on Wikipedia, but a lot of the equations were similar to that. Next up was the Black Rock auction.
Yes.
A lot of stuff in here. The lot number for the diary was 2342, also two of the numbers, and the same numbers that are used in Daniel's setting of the machine, 23 and 42.
Is that a coincidence?
I think not.
Okay.
It was owned by the Hanso family, specifically Tavard Hanso.
Okay.
The item that was bid on afterwards was owned by Charles Dickens. Huh. It was a Victorian chess set, and we all know Charles Dickens' relationship to the show as one of the titles of last season's season premiere, A Tale of Two Cities, and also Desmond's favorite book, the book that he was leaving, well, not his favorite book, but the last book he was going to read before he died, Our Mutual Friend, was by Charles Dickens.
Right.
And also their flashback concept kind of originated from A Christmas Carol, where Ebenezer Scrooge went back to his past and solved his problem. Also, there was a person in the background of the scene that kind of looked like Ben, but it is not Ben. But there's some discussion if it was Ben or not. You can look at the picture now. It has a look of him, but it's not really Ben. All right.
Could it be Michael Emerson's brother?
Does Michael Emerson have a brother?
I don't know. All right. Just throwing it out there.
Okay. Next up, Penny's apartment. Cheney Walk. A lot of people are thinking what the significance is of that. It's more or less, it's actually a rich part of town. A lot of famous people live there or have lived there, like Mick Jagger.
So now we're going to see Mick Jagger on Lost. Now, that would be cool.
But I think it's just more saying that, you know, Penny's rich, so she lives in a rich part of town.
Okay.
Makes sense. Her address was 423, two of the numbers, 4.
So you think that's why Widmore sent him there to show that where she's at now?
That she's rich.
And she's rich, and she's got money, and then better off without you?
I think so. That's a possibility.
Okay.
Desmond said he will call in 8 years, eight, one of the numbers.
Cool. That is just weird.
Yeah. And this one from Mark, I thought was pretty funny and a nice observation. Penny's number 794-60893. You get 867309 with the 4 and 9 left over. Subtract 4 from 9, you get 5. Now you have 867-5309 Penny.
Penny, which rhymes
Penny,
with?
Which line, rhymes with Lenny. I'm sorry, Lenny. Jenny.
Well, no, I think you're thinking they were stealing from us.
Well, were they stealing from us, or was it a nice reference to the 80s?
I think it's they were stealing from us.
But I thought that was...
I think it's more. I think it sounds better for us and strokes our ego more if they say, hey, they were stealing from us.
Actually, stealing from Ryan and Jen. That was there.
Well, that's true.
Wrote, so.
Yeah, but...
We just performed it.
Right.
We were like Elvis to their... Whoever wrote Elvis's song.
I don't know. I can't think. I was thinking of the Monkees, but no, it wasn't that. What's his name? Neil Diamond wrote for the Monkees.
That's right,
right?
Huh? Yeah. But yeah, so a nice little reference there. Don't know if that was intentional or Mark's really good.
So
at
they're stealing
those
from. So they're stealing from podcast people.
I don't know. I doubt it. This is just a reference to the Lenny. I mean, I'm sorry, Jenny Penny thing.
So you're.
I can't think of that song now without hearing
Lenny.
You know, 4, 8, 7, 20 Lenny.
That was planned.
That was it.
That was all part of the act.
All right. Remember that calendar that Desmond looked at when he was on the freighter?
Yes.
Well, there was different colored X's that marked out the dates. 14 dates were marked in red.
Someone actually went through and counted this.
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're saying I was a loser?
No, I'm not saying that.
10 were in blue.
Dork.
And 4 were in yellow. A lot of people were thinking that they didn't mark those 4 days, but it's actually yellow X's on there.
Okay.
And the rest were in black. What do you think the significance of the different color scheme is? Do you think it means anything, or do you just think they had a different marker laying around for that day?
I thought they put that up there so some guy would go back there and count the different days and different colors.
Well, do you think that...
What are the colors again? Red?
Well, 14 dates were marked in red.
Okay, let's do the math here. 14 in red.
10 in blue.
10 in blue.
4 in yellow.
4 in yellow.
And the rest were in black.
Black. Okay.
Now, granted, I can't add, so these numbers might be off by...
Yeah, I have no idea what that means.
I'm saying, do you think like something happened on those days differently, like some kind of event?
It could mean something that to that person that was marking them off.
Yeah. But, was there something that happened to the people on the freighter?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at... I never even thought to look at the... go back and look at the calendar.
All right. And last but not least... Probably the greatest Easter egg that everyone saw of all time and called in on, the Ring Lady and the Priest photo. Well, it came back to haunt us in this one because if you look at this, where Desmond's walking up to the school, the shot that they have right there is the same background that is in the Ring Lady photo.
I didn't even notice that.
So
I gotta admit, I didn't even notice it.
It was the whole shot where he's walking up to the school. You know what I mean? That is the same background that is in the Ring Lady photo.
Wow.
There you go. There you have it.
You know, I think it's amazing is we've not had one email that I've read because I'm way behind in emails right now.
Yeah.
I'm a good 100-something emails behind, but I will catch up for the next show, I hope. we had not, or one phone call that I've listened to. Uh-huh. Not one person has said Desmond is in the coffin. I've not seen one or heard.
That's true.
Not
Usually
one
it's call. It's centric episode. That's
it's
it
Desmond's in the but not
Maybe it's
one.
It's the Ring Lady in the coffin.
Someone did say that Russo's in the coffin, and that's the first time I've heard that.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think eventually everyone will say every single cast member's in.
So that was weird. The coffin. I had something.
Okay.
After watching the second time, I noticed that the ledger that was being sold that Widmore was bidding on.
Uh-huh.
It was the ship launched in 1845, right?
Yep.
It was found on a pirate ship 7 years later.
Uh-huh.
Now, why would a pirate ship keep someone else's ledger?
Well,
there has to be valuable information in there.
Yeah.
And I think it's information that shows them where the island is.
Possibly.
Where the island,
or maybe there was a lot of valuable stuff on that ship. That's why he wanted it.
No, I think that's something in that ledger that shows where the island is, how to get there, and there's something valuable on that island, and we know the island is magical, and that's probably a myth, you know, or something, you know, was going around back then, and that's what the deal is. That's why
maybe
Widmore
since Albert never aged, maybe the island was the fountain of youth.
It'd be the fountain of youth, and that's why the pirates were trying to find the ledger.
Okay,
we're keeping the ledger because why would pirates don't read?
You don't know that. Do you know any pirates? Do you happen to know any pirates?
I know lots of pirates, and they don't.
Besides
read.
Ones that you talk to, the animatronic ones at Disneyland.
Any movie you watch with pirates, what are they doing?
I don't know. Swashbuckling.
They're fighting. They're attacking. They're killing, raping, and pillaging. They're not reading.
They're reading maps. They read maps.
Oh no, they don't. They take notes.
You've seen Pirates of the Caribbean, the movie.
Oh, that doesn't count. I'm talking real pirate movies.
It's a movie. It's fictional.
I never saw Johnny Depp read anything. He never read a book.
Well, I'm sure there's pirate experts.
I mean, Johnny
out
Depp
there.
in the movie, yeah. Captain Jack Sparrow. He never read a book.
I can't remember, quite honestly. But yeah, I don't know. I think pirates do
no,
read.
Pirates don't read. Maybe. That's why they're pirates.
I'm sure there's pirates that don't read, but I'm sure there's pirates that do read. There's very intelligent pirates.
Would a pirate keep someone else's ledger unless it had something valuable in there?
Yeah, I agree. I think it would have had some kind of
I think if you control the island, you control the world. If you can harness the power of the island, you control the world.
I smell Pirates of the Caribbean 4.
There you go.
Curse of the Lost Island.
And also, Chris from Michigan.
Uh-huh.
They had something, you know, talking about how the water, Widmore left the water running.
Yeah, that was a big discussion.
He said, my brother and I assumed that Widmore was just treating Desmond like a bathroom attendant.
Ah.
That it was just another way to insult him without saying anything. Mm. So he just left the water running. You know, yeah. The whole thing, he brings him to talk to him in the restroom. You know, makes him watch, you know, use the restroom and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
He's basically putting Desmond down saying, you're lower than me. So I like it.
That's a pretty good observation. Yeah, yeah. I like that. Cool.
Throwing that out there.
All right. Anything else, Jack?
No, that's it.
All right. There's some other things that we're going to leave for the discussion in the phone calls from this episode as well. But those are most of the Easter eggs.
Yeah. All right, Jack. Pretty cool stuff.
Are you ready to get some next on Lost?
The TV show?
The TV show featuring one of our first entrants into you perform the Segway musics.
Which is always better.
Hey, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. You know, I think we could also open up to remixes, too, if you want to remix some of them, like disco songs.
Ask me. No, I don't think we want that.
Okay. All right, here we go. Next on Lost.
I guess I would help towards the headache podcast.
Next on Lost. Next on Lost, the TV show. Next on Lost. Next on Lost. Maybe it's next week. Maybe it's in a couple days. Because it's next on Lost. Lost, 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 lost.
That's too funny.
All right. Good job. All right. It's next on Lost Time. And,
he was in better sync. He had his, he was not as, you know, like sometimes you get off your tune. You're not tuned right.
What? How do you know? What do you know about being in tune?
I watch American Idol. I know now.
Okay. All right, Simon. Okay. So this Thursday, we have a new episode called The Other Woman.
The Other Woman. Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's really called?
Yep. Here is the official.
You want me to guess what it is?
Okay, go ahead.
It's got to be Juliet.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Juliet's the other woman.
All right. Well, what do you say we get into the official press release from ABC.com or ABC Media Net? The other woman, Juliet, receives an unwelcome visit from someone from her past.
Oh.
And is given orders to track down Charlotte and Faraday in order to stop them from completing their mission by any means necessary.
So somebody, Ben.
Oh, wait.
Someone from, oh, I'm wrong.
Meanwhile, Ben offers Locke an enticing deal on Lost Thursday, March 6th.
So someone gets a hold of Juliet.
Now 9 o'clock to 10:02. So 10:02, make sure anybody out there uses their DVR.
Did we say spoiler warning on this one?
Well, it's just the,
okay,
whatever. 10:02, make sure if you're TiVoing it or DVRing it, tape the show after it too.
Okay.
So you don't lose those 2 minutes.
Yeah, which would be...
Which, if it, like, the last 2 minutes, you're usually like, what? So if you're DVRing or TiVoing, remember to record the show after it. All right. Guest stars are Jeremy Davies as Daniel Faraday, Rebecca Mader as Charlotte, Alan Dale as Charles Widmore.
Ah, he's back again, huh?
Again. Is that the person from her past?
Now, that would be trippy.
Andrea Roth as Harper. Don't know who that is. MC Gainey as Mr. Friendly / Tom.
Well, it's got to be him, then.
Him, possibly.
It's got to be.
And Brett Cullen as Goodwin. So who is that?
What is going on?
So this episode seems to be pretty interesting.
Holy.
Now, who knows? These could all be people that are, like, in a flashback, for all we know.
Yeah, I'm sure it is a flashback. But yeah. It just, wow.
So it looks like it's going to be a great episode and can't wait to see it.
I'm speechless.
Okay.
I didn't watch the pre. I've not watched the previews for next
neither
week.
Have I. I don't watch them because
I don't know why. I just didn't.
Yeah. All right.
I skipped it.
So, what do you say we get into some listener feedback?
I say we do it, sir.
All right, here we go.
Listener feedback.
All right, it's listener feedback time. Got a lot of great calls to get into today. Here is our first set. Chris in Florida, Billy D, Christian, Coco, and Dan from Milwaukee. Here we go.
Hey, Dan, Jack, Chris in Florida. So the guy on the boat, Ben's man on the boat, let's say it's going to be Walt. It would be make sense because he could communicate telepathically, wouldn't have to worry about any wireless connections, radio transmissions, all that. Plus, the door magically opened for Desmond and friends in this past episode so that they could escape and go to the radio room on the freighter. And number two, so Richard Alpert, everybody says he's never left the island, but we've definitely seen him leave the island when he recruited Juliet. So he has left the island, so everybody says he's been there since the dawn of time, one caller said last time, so... that's it. See you around.
Hey, what's up, Jay and Jack? This is Billy D.
North Philly represent.
Listen. After watching The Constant last night, you know, they're discussing the date. It's 2004, Christmas Eve. And then, what came up in my mind, well, actually my friend's mind, and then I stole his idea, was the tsunami of 2004. Which happened on the 26th. So that brings up something interesting. And then after a little Googling, I found out that, I found someone's post where they said something, the creators said they would work it into the show. So that's something we can probably expect soon. So, I mean, that happened in the Indian Ocean, I guess, but I think it triggered small tsunamis in the Pacific and stuff like that. So, I was just wondering what you think of that, and I love you. Bye.
Hey, James X, this is Christian. Great show. I have but one question about the last episode, and that is, how do you teach a dead rat to run a maze? What's his name? McFly. Says that he is going to teach the rat how to run the maze he just built in an hour, but 75 minutes, which granted is a little bit longer than an hour, from that period in time, the rat is dead. So, unless he taught the rat how to do that maze within the 15 minutes, while it was traveling back and forth in time, rapidly, about to die, it seems like they've found a paradox in time travel, as is easy to do. Anyway, just pop it in with a little nerdness. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey guys, I usually never call. It's Coco. But I had to call because, seriously, this was the best episode ever on Lost. And I just had to say it to people that would appreciate it and not to my friends because they don't understand me. Well, also, this is the right time to tell you that you have a great show and keep doing what you do because every time you get better, I'm more professional at what you do. Well, talk to you guys later. Bye.
Hey, Jay and Jack. It's Dan from Milwaukee. I just thought of a really interesting question regarding the most recent episode, Constant. What I was wondering is if the Daniel Faraday had taught the rat how to get through the maze at that point in time when he was in Oxford, how could he have known that he had done that when he didn't invent figure out his contraption to be at 2.342 megahertz, or hertz, if I don't remember, and 11 megahertz oscillation? So it's kind of interesting how, one explanation for that could have been that he himself used the contraption on him, went into the future, told the rat how to get into the maze, and then came back and tested to see if the rat, and then, or performed the, used the device on the rat, and then the rat had gone in the future, was taught the trick, and then came back. But that couldn't be possible, because he didn't know didn't figure out his contraption that it had to be 2.2342 until Desmond had come. So maybe that's why Desmond is his constant, because Desmond needs to tell him that. So he must have had ran into Desmond before. So now we get this now it's really confusing and wild. But that's what's so awesome about this episode and why Lost is just phenomenal, is because it makes you think like this, and oh man, that's so cool. So I just wanted to run that by you guys. It's something really interesting. There seems to be something strange with how Daniel knows how the rat could be in the rat could know the rays in the maze in the future, but then yet he didn't know his contraption to work. So I just was run that by you guys, and thanks for the show. See you later.
Okay. After listening to Dan's call, I think we're all convinced. I think we're all, this is what we want. We want more, is Kay going to choose Jack or Sawyer episodes?
No, I don't want those kind of episodes.
I'm confused. I don't know what's going on.
Okay,
the rat. Okay.
So let's try and help him with this.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm lost.
All right, so.
the rat, I don't know.
Come on. We got to do this.
All right, you start it and I'll.
Okay, so what was he saying first? Where did he start off by saying?
I got lost. He's like me in this show when you're watching. All right, how did you know the equation?
Okay, this is what I'm saying. Okay, he must have known the equation because he did eventually figure
right,
it out.
Right. So he sent himself. Was he traveling through time and then he came back? And when Desmond came to him, he said Eloise, that he knew that that was the
yeah
the saying. So he knew the setting ahead of time. So when he gave it to Eloise.
No, he didn't know it then in that point, but eventually he knew it because he did figure it out.
Right, so he came back and it worked because...
He just figured it out sooner because he got the equation sooner. But Daniel Faraday must have figured it out eventually, and that's why he had it in his notes.
Okay.
And for the other caller, it said...
It was Christian, right, that said, how did McFly teach the rat to, if he was already dead?
Yeah.
If Eloise was already dead.
Well, in that case, once again, maybe not that day, but... Dan's work was accelerated because he got the equation sooner. So the rat was exposed to the radiation. Eloise was exposed to the radiation sooner than she would have been.
Right.
So it accelerated her death, impending death.
Okay, that makes sense. I like that. That one a lot. Going to Coco, best episode. Is this the best episode of Lost ever?
I wouldn't say ever, but definitely top five. It's hard to say which one's the best ever, but I definitely think this one's definitely one of the best, but I can't say
it's that definitely
it is
one of those
best.
Ones that has made you think,
yeah,
and made you go, what is going on?
Yeah, exactly.
What is going on?
Yeah.
And our each podcast we get more professional. Each one, don't listen to this one.
The headache.
No, the headache is not. It's we're way off today, but it's like, you know, you're going back to Dan. That's how I feel. You sit there and you think, okay, that can't be possible because it's got this and it's got
yeah,
this.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like his whole call. You can hear the frustration in his call. That's me.
Yeah.
That's me on this episode. Uh-huh. I said, watch it three times. I go, okay, that's what's going on. Why would it go on? I go, I don't understand why, but you know, that's, I said, I'm just wondering.
So hopefully we help
I'm just
you guys.
Hoping, I'm
hopefully
just hoping that helped Kate, a little bit. That Kate picks Jack in the end. That's all I care about. Going to Billy D, the tsunami.
Yes.
Maybe that's how Claire's going to die.
Maybe. And that's been ever since, you know, we kind of figure out the timeline of Lost. That's been, you know, a discussion point, I think, since like season two, right?
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. And now that it's actually only 2 days away, Lost Island time, it does seem like it would be something.
Maybe Claire dies on the island.
Okay.
Okay. And that sets up the whole thing with Kate having Aaron and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Maybe the reason, because Jack doesn't seem like he wants to get back right now.
Uh-huh.
He does. He's fine. He's just cool. He's lived the lie. I'm back to being uh-huh. a surgeon and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Maybe he figures out the time travel thing. Maybe he finds out that Claire is his sister.
Ah, so he wants to go back.
He thinks he can go back in time and change the events that caused Claire's death.
Wow, that's nice. You should have said that for a crackpot theory.
I know. I just thought of that when I just listened to the tsunami thing, thinking, well, maybe that's how Claire dies. Just came to my head. That's my crackpot theory from last week. So that's why he wants to get back to... Because I've been trying to figure out, why would he want to get back?
Yeah.
Maybe I've been saying, well, maybe he finds out his dad's alive. Maybe he finds out this. But they've said that Christian Shepherd is dead.
Yeah.
So, but maybe in his mind he thinks it is, because you know in the last episode of last season he kept saying his
dad.
Well,
if he can go back in time, in his opinion, and
so maybe change things, and he thinks he can go, like, because Desmond changed the course of history a couple times.
Well, see, the thing is though is we're getting to a call later. Damon Carlton in that EW thing have said they're not doing paradoxical
right
theory. So paradox means like whatever happens if you go back in time, you can change the present or the past.
Yeah.
So they're not doing that. So whenever he goes back in time, he's not changing.
So
stuff
so
in
that
the
theory wouldn't work then, because then Jack couldn't.
No, but it doesn't mean that Jack couldn't think that way if that wasn't explained to Jack.
Okay, that's true. So in his mind, he thinks he can go back and change the events that happened.
And we all know Jack, once he tries to do something, even when he was trying to save Boone, which it wasn't logical, but he's going to cut off his leg just because he doesn't know when to let go.
Right.
Remember, that's what Jack's father said. You don't know when to let go. So that would make sense still if he knew or didn't know that.
Okay. So that's in his mind. He thinks he can go back and change the
course of time. Because remember, Desmond, even though he tried to stop Charlie from dying, he couldn't change the inevitable.
Yeah, it was going to happen.
It was
going
to happen because it'd either be he'd fall off on the rocks. But he
also told that the reason that Charlie did it because he saw Claire leaving it in a helicopter being rescued.
Uh-huh.
We've yet to see that.
Exactly.
Who took the helicopter for Claire? Desmond.
Yeah. Yeah. But still, it is like one of those, and much like the ring lady said, it's going to happen. It either would have been there when that guy with the red shoes died, when that scaffolding fell on him, or another time.
Yeah, it was going to happen. What's going to happen is going
to
happen.
So it's not so much that when he goes back in time, it's going to change things. The same major events will happen. They just might happen slightly differently.
Okay, and then Ben's man on the boat, is it Walt?
It's a possibility. I don't see why not, why it couldn't be. And
he can
speak
telepathically. He doesn't need wireless, which would be great. I wish Walt was my kid, because then I wouldn't have to pay for cell phone. That'd be great.
Yeah.
So is it Walt?
I don't know. I'm still siding on Michael.
Yeah, most people think it's Michael. It's got to be. It's got to be a reason why we haven't seen Michael yet.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Are Michael and Walt on the boat?
Exactly. And we haven't seen all the crew yet, so we don't know.
Why was the guy, and if you go back to the episode, the guy when Saeed's on the deck, the guy up in the little, looks like the... he's looking at him through binoculars. He's only like 30 feet away from him. What was he looking at?
Trying to read their lips, maybe, what they're saying.
You think that's what it was?
Yeah. I think I could definitely. Okay. Why else? Why? Why else would you?
Because we really didn't get a good look at him. Maybe that was Michael.
Possibly.
I'd have to go back and get a screen cap and look at it, but I just dawned me. I remember I made a comment. I go,
yeah.
He's only like 30 feet away. Why has he got binoculars looking at him?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess we'll have to see.
Okay.
All right. Ready for the next set of calls?
Yes.
All right. Here we go. We got one from Billy from Illinois, Doug from Diamond Bar, one from Aaron, Doug from Schaumburg, and the friggin' Italian.
Okay. I didn't have
no
the water.
Choking that time.
No water. I put the water down.
Okay. Here we go.
Hey, Jane Jack. This is Billy from Illinois. So I just finished rewatching The Constant, and I realized something. When Daniel said that Eloise died because it didn't have something stable in both spots to keep it, like, anchored in one spot, wouldn't Eloise have had Daniel there? Because Daniel was there to put him through the maze and there to teach him the maze. So I don't know why he still would have died if he had Daniel as his constant. So I don't know, just a thought. I'd like to hear what you guys think. Later.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Doug from Diamond Bar, where Trisha Tanaka died. Anyway, I'm just wondering if what you guys think, if the flashbacks and the flash forwards that all of the people on the island have been having since season one, maybe that's sort of what they've been experiencing is kind of a minor effect compared to what Desmond has gone through, where they flash back or flash forward, and then in their present time, it's so quick that they don't even realize that they've actually consciously traveled through time, unlike Desmond. So, anyway, that's just my question, my musings, and great show. Love listening to it, and hope to talk to you guys again soon.
Hey, Jane Jack, it's Aaron from Seattle. What an awesome episode was that, just not fantastic. Anyway, I wanted to comment. You were talking about in your podcast that, Jack, you believe that Desmond is back as far as his memory and everything, and Jay, you were saying you don't think he's back. But if you remember when he was talking to Penny, it's like all of a sudden it's like he remembered because he says, I was on an island. And then when she says to him, oh, your friend Charlie, you know, said you were there, that's how I knew you were alive. Well, he didn't say, well, who's Charlie? He seemed to know who Charlie was. So I believe that his memory is fully restored. Anyway, I have lots of other theories, but I'll make it short. Thanks again for the great podcast. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
This is Doug from Schaumburg, and I'm calling in about a theory I have about Desmond, Daniel, and Charlotte a little bit. And it was mainly regarding the the note that Desmond Hume would be his constant that Daniel had in his notebook. And when thinking about this, my first thought was that Daniel really didn't have a lot of contact with Desmond. He saw him for maybe one day in the past, at least that we know of. There's, at least at this point, doesn't seem like reason to expect that they had this long-standing relationship afterwards, or at least we see nothing else that would indicate that. So Desmond doesn't, at this point, seem like he would make a great constant for Daniel, as he really isn't involved in that much of his life. This made me think that perhaps because Daniel knew that Desmond saw him from the future, he just jotted this down. And the other thing that I thought maybe could make this make some more sense is that on the island, when Daniel is looking at the cards with Charlotte, maybe he's experimenting with his time jumping at that point, and that's what he's on the island to do. And so he knows he's kind of jumping back and forth in time and trying to remember the cards or whatever. And then when he actually does reach Desmond on the phone, that is establishing a constant right there, and now he's kind of saved himself at that point from wherever he was jumping in the past from looking at the cards. Not sure if it all fits together, but trying to piece together how else that Desmond could really end up being Daniel's constant in a reliable way. So maybe this information is showing or explaining something that's already happened more so than predicting how Desmond will be his constant in the future.
Hello, Jane Jack. It's a friggin' Italian in Los Angeles again. I have a wee bit of a theory after watching the most recent episode. More of a theory with a question. Bear with me here. The writers seem to really be working in that quantum physics angle now. And I believe there's a correlation between the constant episode as well as the orchid video we saw released prior to season 4. To me, it would seem that the rabbit in the orchid video underwent a more advanced version of the experiment than the rat in Daniel Faraday's maze experiment. Perhaps it's a continuation of that same experiment. Who knows? But my question is this. What happens if something or someone were to leap just a few minutes ahead or back in proximity to itself or themselves or whatever, say within the same room? In the same orchid video, they seem pretty worried about the rabbits being too close to one another. So I'm kind of wondering about that. Anyways, just expansion on a thought. Love the show, guys, and talk to you later. Bye.
All right, I think it was calls.
All right, what do you think about what the freaking Italian had to say?
Yeah, I don't know if... I don't think it's so much... I assume he may be saying, like, maybe the rabbits flashing into the future was so advanced that there would end up being two of the same thing, but I don't think so, though. I think that's kind of more of a separate issue where the rabbit was duplicated. Not so much it was sent in into the past or into the future in its own conscious. Because remember what Faraday said? He said it was in his conscious.
Yes, he didn't.
So it wasn't like his physical body went anywhere.
So even Desmond in the back to last season never physically went back in time.
Yeah, he never physically went back in time. It was in his mind.
Right. Which always bugged me because I always said, I don't think he could physically go back in time.
Yeah. So that is more the explanation. So that means the physicality of the fact that there was two rabbits doesn't associate itself too well with the constant. Okay. I think anyway.
Okay, you've answered that one. Now answer Doug, the second Doug. How is Desmond Daniel's constant?
Well, I think if you look in the sense that for Desmond, Penny didn't know who Desmond was. I'm sorry that Desmond was coming back from the future or whatever issues was going on with Desmond, but she was there and he was able to talk to her.
Yeah.
So I was thinking kind of, it's not as much the same because the love between Desmond and Penny was there in the past as it was in the future. But maybe it could be looked at that Faraday will have to realize that Desmond is there and he can go talk to him or something like that.
Maybe
I don't know, but I think his thoughts are pretty more logical, I guess. But it kind of goes either way.
Okay.
But I do like the fact that he pointed out that maybe those card tests weren't something for his brain degeneration.
Just something part
but
of
it. Maybe that's like he was shown those cards, that what was under those cards in the future.
Future, and then he had to try and remember what it was when he came back.
Exactly.
Then Desmond had to remember the phone number.
The phone number, and much like Eloise knew the maze pattern
because from the
future, before she even knew it.
Yeah, was supposed you know to that's know probably it. That's probably what it is.
Yeah,
that's so, what that's what the card trick is.
So that's more what the well, I think the card trick is now. Okay. Much like Eloise's maze, and much like how Desmond had to remember the number and stuff like that.
So maybe the flash forwards, because Doug said the flash forwards, and maybe it is part of them traveling back so fast and then coming back, you know, sparking something in their memory. They're traveling back and forth. Maybe the power of the island is not Fountain of Youth; it's the power of it's harnessing the time travel,
uh-huh,
and harnessing going back and maybe being able to change,
mm-hmm,
you know, things like that. But maybe the vaccine is what keeps them grounded and having and keeps them in one location. That vaccine that did we ever get an explanation what that vaccine was?
No, and I definitely think that now the sickness is, I think it's whatever was happening to Desmond Minkowski.
Yeah.
And why Minkowski died. That definitely looks like a sickness to me.
Okay. And maybe that's the vaccine is what keeps them grounded and keeps them in one location.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's from jumping.
Yeah. And then we also had an email. I forgot to bring it up, and I don't have it in front of me. But someone had said that maybe Penny was pregnant.
Uh-huh.
When Desmond broke up with her, Penny was pregnant.
Yeah.
And that's why Widmore wanted to send her back. Because when they shot the Christmas tree, I guess there were a lot of presents under the tree. And why would a single woman have so many presents under the tree?
Uh-huh.
So maybe the Desmond, there's something to go back that
there, maybe there's that's why, a Desmond kid.
And maybe that's why Penny is still, maybe that's why Penny is still looking for him.
Maybe
that's,
I guess
maybe
so.
That's a connection there.
Yeah.
I don't have it in front of me, so I can't remember the whole thing.
Uh-huh. Well, I really like the whole true love angle that Desmond Penny have. To me, that's a fresh, I think it's better than the whole Kate, Jack, and Sawyer triangle, where Kate's just can't pick and choose. To me, anyway.
Okay, and then we have Aaron said that, I was right, so I want to tally.
What's that?
That Desmond was back from the future.
Yeah.
That he wasn't there.
And, yeah, you win a tally there.
And then Billy said, why wasn't Eloise Daniels constant?
Ah, yeah. Well, the thing is, though, is it's a rat. Would it really be able to associate itself with it that much?
Well, it has to, well, I don't know.
I mean,
I've never
I
spoken
don't know
to
either.
A rat, so.
And we don't know what, you know, the rat's brain capacity and ability to associate itself like that and be able to actually recognize the fact that it has a constant and stuff like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So. It maybe doesn't know it's traveling back. And
yeah.
So it doesn't know what's going on. Maybe it's why it made its head explode. And
its head explode.
Well, you know, an aneurysm. And
yeah, yeah. All right, you get ready to get
not
the next
explode,
set of calls?
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. French guy from Chicago. the Italian stallion. A lot of Italians today. Jeff from Washington, Jealous Guy, and Jesse.
Okay.
Here we go.
Hi, this is a French guy from Chicago. I was referring to the constant. I love this episode, probably one of the best of the show. However, I think there is a potential plot hole. I haven't watched the episode again, but I wanted to submit to you guys and hear your opinion. When Desmond says to Penny that he won't call her for, I think, 8 years or 10 years, 8 years, how does he know? Because this is 1996 Desmond. So he doesn't have the consciousness of 204, and he doesn't know for sure that they didn't have an interaction between 1996 and 204. It's just a very, very educated guess he's making at this point. So I think this is a plot hole, but again, maybe there's something else in this episode that can prove me otherwise. Anyway, wanted to submit to you guys and hear your thoughts. Love the show. Thanks for the podcast. Bye.
Hey guys, this is the Italian Stallion, and I was just calling actually about, I was listening to your podcast, and you were talking about how you thought it was odd that Widmore was running the water in the bathroom, and when, you know, when he woke up, the water was still running. Well, actually, if you see him turn the faucet on, he uses a napkin or a washcloth to turn the faucet on. So I know we're really reading into it, but I thought it's just because he's a very pompous person, and he just is a germaphobe. And after he washed his hands, he wasn't going to turn the faucet off. All right. Want to know what you guys think. Thanks.
Hey, Jay and Jack, this is Steven from Philadelphia. What's going on? Well, I finally got to see Thursday night's episode. It's Friday evening. Didn't get to listen to your podcast yet for Thursday night, but man, oh man. All that I can think of is three things that came to mind. WTF.
I tell you guys, any theories, anything that I could have possibly thought of before seeing this show were completely, completely blown away. And I think this very well might have been the episode that this series has been waiting for, a defining moment, and I can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about it. Best wishes, and I talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Jane Jack, what's up? This is Jealous Guy from YouTube, also known as Tim from Wisconsin. I need to just pick a name and stick with it, you know? Anyway, something's not right here, okay? They said the Black Rock was sailing around and shipwrecked in 1845, right? Well, I was just looking on Wikipedia. Dynamite was not invented until 1866. Something ain't stirring the Kool-Aid, man.
Hey, Jack. Hey, Jay. How's it going? This is Jesse calling from Philadelphia. Talking with my friend Sean, we had a few ideas concerning Widmore. Well, I do believe he's the one behind the sending the freighter to the island. I don't necessarily believe he's a bad guy, like a lot of people think. If you think back to, was it Flashing Before Your Eyes or whichever episode Desmond was at the monastery, you know, we all remember seeing the ring lady's picture on the monk's desk. Remember Penny coming to pick up wine for her father. So obviously, you know, as we all know, there's a big connection between Widmore, the monk, the ring lady. The ring lady seemed to be, pretty hardcore in believing that Desmond, the only important, whatever she said, the only important thing that Desmond would ever do in his life is go to that island and press the button. But now that, you know, the hatch is blown up, imploded, whatever, somebody has to come in and kind of pick up the pieces, and I think that's why we have our Faradays and our Charlottes on the island, and, you know, they're going to go in there, they're going to clean up the mess, and save the world, as it were. Also, Widmore was being I think he's really a good guy, and he was, even though he didn't give Desmond his blessing for the marriage, I think he kind of had to do that because maybe he knew that Desmond was the one who had to go to the island. I don't know. I'm getting a little bit off track here. But also, I think Miles is definitely the man on the boat, as he's said in the past. That's all I got. Great podcast. Love the show. Talk to you guys later. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you for those calls.
So Jesse, the ring lady, she did say the only thing important in that Desmond would do would be push that button.
Yeah.
So, should his story have ended?
No, because maybe that was the catalyst that led him to where he is now. Maybe that's why it was so important. Because without that, maybe he wouldn't have his
Had the courage.
Abilities.
Okay. There you go.
And be able to stand up and not be a coward.
Okay, good job. Is Widmore a good guy?
Well, if you look at it that way, maybe Widmore was being all this to send him there so he could be brave and be courageous and not be a coward and back out on Penelope. So maybe he was doing that to shape him up to be the man that Penelope deserves.
Okay. And Miles, I could see Miles being the guy on the boat.
Interchange with the $3.2 million was so weird.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if that was what happened. Jealous guy. It's funny. We had an email right after the show from Ricardo about the dynamite. I looked it up, and I found 1796 it was invented, but I only found it once.
Yeah, and then I looked on Wikipedia. I think it was like 18.
Yeah, I found it once. It said trivia answer 1796, and it was invented, but it was invented by Alfred Nobel. And so, yeah, what's the deal?
Yeah.
If it set sail in 1845, did the ship go into the future and get dynamite? I mean, what's the...
Well, see, now... Yeah. That wouldn't make sense because the whole time travel thing is your conscious mind.
Or maybe Danielle put that dynamite from her. Maybe she stored it there, right?
Oh, maybe Danielle could have stored the dynamite there.
Maybe she stored it in maybe the driest place on the island. Maybe Danielle put the dynamite there. I can't remember if the box that said Black Rock, though.
No, I think it said dynamite on it.
It said dynamite on it? So maybe Danielle's, because she knew where the dynamite was. We know we can't trust her.
Yeah, exactly. And why would a science expedition have...
Dynamite. Or someone else placed the dynamite there, maybe.
Yeah, over time.
Over time. So maybe that's what we have to look for. I don't know.
All right.
I'm confused, but I don't know. I don't know why it said seven. I looked it up right after. I thought it was cool, and I looked and said, oh, wait, it said 1796. Uh-huh. I just looked it up once, and I found it again today.
Mm-hmm.
But I did find, 40 pages with, 1867. And then, Steven, now bad enough I got to think about this episode. and the different theories going on the episode. Now I got to figure out what WTF stands for. Man,
you want to know?
Yeah, I'm so confused. It's three things, so I don't know. I can't think.
What?
Of it. I can't think of it. Let's see. Italian Stallion, Widmore, and we had this also an email from Adam too that he's a germaphobe.
Yeah,
he's a germ. I don't know. I'm not a germaphobe. I don't have that problem. So, Is it at home? Does he just leave his water running all over the place?
Well, no. Maybe he feels because he's at home, it's his comfort zone, and he knows it.
So he just goes around town leaving water running. I mean, I guess that's...
He's rich. He can do whatever he wants, I guess.
Okay.
But I don't know. It's a possibility. It's an option.
He did reach for the towel, and once he did kind of turn the faucet. And there, I know there are people like that that don't want to touch...
What about Bob?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. That could be I like both theories. I like the theory.
Yeah, I like them both.
You know, putting him down, and also that could be it. It's one of those things, like the whole snow when Saeed put, after he threw the cell phone away, he grabbed the snow on his hands.
Yeah.
It's like, are they doing that just to mess with us?
Exactly.
And is this water thing just something like going, hey, let's just put this thing where he leaves the water running. And then
well, maybe they're just showing us a slight character, deeper into his character that maybe he does have, OCD or something like that.
Now, when he was holding that little sign up, did he have gloves on?
Or he's a germaphobe. No, but because maybe that's his personal sign, maybe.
That's his personal number, 755?
Well, I mean, like, his sign, so he knows it's clean.
Okay.
Maybe, I don't know.
I'm just throwing it out there. And, French guy in Chicago, plot hole. Is that going to be a plot hole?
I don't know.
Because 8 years. I mean, how does he know that he's not, but he's...
They're calm again for 8 years. And he has made contact with her, because remember, he talked to her at the stadium, but then he didn't call her.
Right. He didn't. He wasn't going to call her in 8 years. He wasn't going to call that number, 8675309 Penny, for 8 years.
8 years. So.
And as far as we know, he didn't do it. Now, if they come, I don't think this late in the season, if this might have been the first season, then I think you might say, okay, there's a chance that, but we only got so many episodes left.
Yeah, exactly.
38 episodes left. So, no, I think it'll be all right. I think we're safe.
All right. So, ready to get into the last set of calls here?
I'm ready, sir.
All right. We got one from Mark O, Matt from Ohio, Obnoxious Scott, Peter, and Ryan Ozawa.
Who?
Ryan from the island.
And are we gonna have a song?
No, it's just a call. You just called in as a listener.
There's no song?
No, it's not a Lost Island filming report.
But I like the song. I think people like the song.
I know, but that's when it's for an island report. This is a theory.
Now, when Ryan called in, did he expect to have his song played?
No, I talked to him about it. I said, oh, are we getting an update? He's like, no, nothing new to talk about. But
I think it's cool that Ryan gets a song. Not everybody gets a song, so I think it's pretty cool.
You just want your own song. All right. Let's get into the calls. Here we go.
I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Mark O., the Lost Boy from New York City. Best episode of the season, or easily the best episode. I loved it. I always love the Desmond-centric episodes. Just wanted to comment how Jay last week had mentioned in that Entertainment Weekly article that the producers were going by a non-paradox theory for Lost. And basically that Hollywood usually has like two ways to do time travel. The paradox way is like Back to the Future, where Marty McFly can prevent his parents from meeting when he goes back in time. But of course, if they never met, then he wouldn't have been able to be born, and then he wouldn't have been able to go back in time. So it's like a paradox. It's a problem. Then the other way is the non-paradox way, which is closer to how like the Terminator does it. And that says that you can't change the future or the past. And that was why in the Terminator, how Kyle Reese went back in time and he becomes the father of John Connor. So really, if you think about it, all they had to do in Terminator was the robots had to not do anything, and then John Connor would have never been born. So that's what Lost is supposed to be. There's supposed to be this no paradox, and even Faraday says in the episode that you can't change the future. The one problem, though, is that when 2004 Faraday talks to Desmond, he tells him the time travel sequence of numbers that you assume he figured out how to do from his experiments back in 1996. But then, when he goes back in time, Desmond tells 1996 Faraday the code, so where did that sequence come from? Future Faraday got it from past Faraday, who got it from future Faraday. So unless the creators have something planned, that's a paradox too. So I don't know. I would think they know what they're doing, because this show is so convoluted, and they have to figure that out, I think. One other fun fact, the actor who plays George Mankowski, Fisher Stevens, He starred in the TV show Early Edition, as well as that movie from the 80s, My Science Project, and both of them dealt with time travel themes, so I thought that was pretty cool. Anyway, looking forward to more on Monday, guys. Great show. Bye.
Hi, Jay. Hi, Handsome Jack. This is Matt from Ohio. I just listened to your podcast for this latest episode, The Constant, and you were talking about the end of the episode where McFly looks in his book, and it says that Desmond Hume's going to be his constant. And you said that maybe you thought this is setting up that something was going to happen. I think it already has. I think that the episode, not only about being about Desmond saving his own life and, you know, contacting Penny, but I think what was also going on at the same time was Daniel Faraday was making contact with his constant, who was Desmond, and he's saving his own life because he was suffering the same thing, and we just weren't seeing it, and that he was, in fact, in danger of dying like Desmond was because of his exposure to the radiation and his own experiments. So, in summation, Daniel Faraday has already used Desmond as his constant, and thanks. Great podcast. I'm going to keep listening, and have a good one.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Obnoxious Scott from Cleveland. I just rewatched episode number 5 again from season 4, and I had more of a general thought than anything specific. The thought that came to my mind was that what's going on, I think, between the connection of Thomas Widmore and Ben somehow relates to the fact that this island is being kept secret for the reason that, and what we learned from Desmond, that what is able to happen, the details aside, what is able to happen is that we know that characters that are in the present are able to go back now in time and have an effect on the past. And I think in some indirect way that that is the secret. And I think in some way, you guys were talking about that Thomas Widmore knows something. And I think that that has to do with that something. So that ability to go back and do that is obviously very important. And you guys were making the connection about Back to the Future. That's kind of funny that Back to the Future, too, that's exactly what happens when Biff Tannen goes back to the future and he gives himself the book. And now we know that in this show that that is able to happen. We saw Desmond go back, and he's able to give himself information that has a real tangible effect on the past. So that's my idea, and I'm sticking to it. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Hi, Jane Jax. Peter Bethesda. Had an idea about why McFly was crying when he saw the footage of Oceanic 815. You can ask Cliff about this if you don't necessarily believe me, but good director never has anything in there by accident. So I still think it was important, despite what some people are saying. I'm going to say the reason that he was so upset was because he knew that Oceanic 815 was going to go down, but he failed to stop it. So, there you go.
Aloha, Jay and Jack. This is Ryan, your fan on the island. And I just wanted to say, had to call in and note that just like everybody else and you guys, I was just blown away by The Constant. And, I was just sort of relaxing last night and something else had come to me, just a little touch, one of the many little beautiful touches that make the show great. You know, when the call, that fantastic call, finally happens, and, Desmond says to Saeed that he's perfect. You know, some folks are wondering, is he all better now? Is that it? Is that all it took to fix things? You know, in addition to the fact that his nose stops bleeding and he says that he's fine, we see that he was doing that flashing back and forth during the call. And it is while he's crossing the street in 1996 that he smiles, because he knows just as he's leaving Penny's apartment at that time that the call went through and everything went through as he wanted it to, so he smiles and he's happy, but he's also crossing the street. and recalled that Daniel told him, you know, when you're flashing back and forth, you're going to pass out, so make sure you're careful crossing the street. Well, he did not disappear or go into a coma or collapse. He was able to leave her apartment and not get hit by a bus. So I think that's another great sign that, you know, Desmond is back, that his trip's worked out, and everything's going to be fine. He is perfect. Just a little thing that really caught me. Have a great day, great show. Keep it up. Talk to you guys later.
All right, thank you for those calls.
So Ryan pointing out that I was right.
Yes, that you're right.
So I was right
again. That's a really good observation.
Yeah, it was. You do. When I was watching it again last night, you do see him smiling. It's like going, well,
yeah.
And he is crossing the street, and Faraday did tell him
not to cross
not
the
street.
Don't cross the streams.
Because you'd be laying. No. It's like when he woke up and he was laying in the stairwell.
Yeah.
He's just laying there like, what am I laying here for?
Yeah.
And then when he woke up in the bathroom, he's laying on the floor. Mm-hmm. So that's good job, Ryan.
Yep.
I like it. And then going to Peter, was Faraday crying because he knew that Oceanic was going to cry.
Going to happen.
And he didn't stop it.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yep. I think that the whole crying thing does open up a lot.
There's something going on.
Why was he crying? But now there was a lot more now that maybe he is traveling in time through his conscience as well.
Right.
And that's why.
And then when he came on the island, he said, "I'm here to rescue." He said, "I'm here to rescue." But didn't he say what else did he? Didn't he say something else?
My name's Daniel Faraday. I'm here to rescue.
But wasn't there something else? Wasn't the main reason why we're here?
Oh, that was later. It's like rescuing you guys isn't our primary objective.
But maybe his primary objective was to get in contact with Desmond.
Possibly. You know? I guess
I'm sure, I'm sure they all have different things.
I think they all do have ulterior motives.
Yeah, I mean that's probably why he came to involve. Maybe he
to
maybe he volunteered.
Actually get in contact with Desmond because he did know that Desmond Hume was going to be his constant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Never know.
Yep.
And then let's go on to Obnoxious Scott. The secret of the island is a time travel and stuff like that. And maybe that's why Locke can walk again. Maybe he was able to go back. When he had the contact, something happened on the island.
His mind was
his mind is back at before when he was paralyzed in 2000, right? It's been 4 years. Before.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So before his dad pushed him out of the thing, his mind went back before he could, and that's why he has to stay on the island in his mind because he can't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's a possibility.
Maybe the island doesn't have healing. Maybe the island doesn't have healing powers. Maybe it just takes you back. Maybe Rose went back before she had cancer. Maybe this, and the secret of the island is the time travel. That's what the power is. That's why Locke has to control the island because he's afraid if someone takes over the island, they take that power away. He'll be in a wheelchair for the rest of his life again.
Okay.
He'll lose his ability to walk again.
Maybe that's
why Locke is so concerned with he has to protect the island. That it's the island.
Uh huh.
And maybe Ben had lost focus, and that's why Jacob put maybe Locke in charge.
Okay.
I don't know. Just throwing it out there.
I'd say that's a possibility. I think that's less a possibility than just it has healing powers, but I'd say that's a pretty good theory.
Okay. And then Marco.
Yeah, he was talking about the EW article that we're talking about
earlier
about how it's non-paradoxical. So that means that they can go into the past and tamper with stuff, but it's not going to change.
But it looks like they have done it, though, haven't they?
No, there's no paradox.
Okay,
is what's going on.
So that's what's going on.
No paradox.
We're cool with everything.
It's like
there's nothing else to think of.
Yeah, we're not gonna have an alternate 1985 Hill Valley?
Hill Valley
where Biff runs the whole city. We're not gonna have that.
So in 38, so the next 38 episodes are just gonna be if Kate is gonna choose.
No. We're still gonna have
I'm
issues.
I'm joking.
There, but we're not gonna have an alternate future.
Right. So not like
So it's not going to be like Back to the Future. We had an alternate 1985.
Okay, which is good because I didn't like the alternate 1985.
Well, you know, who likes Biff running the show? Yeah.
But in the first one, you know, he did Marty McFly. They lived in the same small house, but it was cooler looking.
Okay.
It was. All right. Isn't that what is true? He made all this money, but yet they lived in the same small house, but it was just cooler looking.
Yeah, well, he didn't make that much money.
Yeah, well, Marty had the truck.
Yeah.
I didn't have a cool. Did you have a cool truck like
that
when you were a kid? All right.
So that was an alternate 1985 as well.
Okay. Just curious.
Okay.
And his girlfriend changed too.
Yeah, that was in the second.
Yeah, she changed. Movie. So that was kind of.
All right. This has something to do with anything. Move on.
All right. So Matt, I'm just picking apart your movie. Matt Daniel had already used Desmond as his constant.
Yeah, so it's not something that's coming up. It's already happened.
Yeah, he wrote down saying, okay, I'm cool.
Okay,
all right. I'm cool. And then we were going back to Ryan because we were talking about how Ryan has the phone call.
Uh-huh.
He called us and he has the, you have a song for Ryan.
Yeah.
That you've decided you're going to do.
I have not decided this yet.
A song for the 25-hour podcast.
I don't know. I make no guarantees.
You can't come up with something snappy, something, you know, hip.
I already have to compose
snappy,
a song for
a
R&B ensemble.
So nothing. You can't do one song.
Ryan, we'll see if I can do it, but I can't make any guarantees. Don't make it like the premiere of the 25-hour podcast song.
I mean, it's just a song. I mean,
whatever. Okay.
I mean,
I'm not a machine.
I've heard you pull out this
songs
other,
pop out.
Other cheesy crap in like 10 seconds. You can't do. Or you can just do the, you know, or this is what we can do. The whole 25-hour podcast is the on a loop. The Ryan from the Island song for just for 25
it's only 1 minute long.
Well, it's gonna be a long.
So that's 60 times 24 or 25 is.
A lot.
Okay. All right. Jack, are you ready to get into the listener theory of the week?
I am ready.
All right. Here we go.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Jeff from Washington State. I'm calling about the constant, and I'm trying to relate Desmond's flashing this year to last season. Of course, last season we had current Desmond flashing back to the past Desmond. He was bringing his current consciousness back to London years ago. And of course, this year it's the opposite. We've got the older Desmond's consciousness coming forward, but when he's on the freight, or at least at the first part of the show, he's still the old Desmond with his consciousness. All right. So they're kind of mirror images of each other, which is cool, which kind of ties into the whole show. Now, here's the thing I don't get. Minkowski, this is his first flash, we're thinking, and he's taken his old childlike consciousness, excuse me, his current consciousness from the freighter and going back in time to when he's a kid. So why is his first experience the opposite of Desmond's? And why is it that Minkowski gets all his health and the blood, and why does that all happen to him the first time, but it never happened to Desmond the first time? Did Desmond have a constant last year? Was that Charlie? Because remember, he talked to Charlie on the street, and of course he talked to Charlie on the island. So was Charlie his constant last year? Anyway, I'm so confused. Love your show. Talk to you later.
All right. Congratulations.
I like it. I think everyone's confused, because even you listen to all these calls,
yeah,
they're all different. Because usually I write like 3 or 4 words down. I can remember the call, and it's like going, I was writing down a lot.
Yeah. I think, in honor of this episode, I think everyone's going to get a listener theory of the week,
yeah,
including this one.
Even the calls we didn't play, and even the emails we haven't gotten to yet, because the emails I'm reading, I'm like going, well, yeah, that could be it too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just we don't have enough time.
This was
for
an episode
show.
We call, like, so I think it's why it's going to be titled the headache episode, because there's so many different theories out there. I think
so much stuff in it.
Because I think everyone got something different from it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because time travel is something that, you know, there's theories on it, but,
and there's so many different theories on it.
And everyone looks at it a different way, and it just, it's confusing.
Yeah.
It's giving me a headache.
So congratulations, Jeff. And everybody else that called in, you did a great job.
I mean,
we had hundreds more that we didn't play today, and they were all great.
Yeah.
So just, thank you guys.
And thanks for Jay for putting together that song.
All right. You ready to close up the show, Jack?
Yes, I am so ready.
All right, here we go. All right, that is our show for this Monday.
Yay.
If you'd like to give us a call, 206-309-0311.
Call anytime.
That's 206-309-0311. Call anytime with your last questions, comments, and or theories.
Just a song like that, I think people would be happy with.
Also, you can send us an email at lostpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, that's lostpodcast@gmail.com. Also, you can check out jayandjack.com for our
important information.
Thank you. Related to the show, like our MySpace page. Join the fun. Also, on our MySpace page, we are putting up pictures of people in their Jay and Jack t-shirts. So if you have your Jay and Jack t-shirt or hoodie, take a picture around your neighborhood, some maybe a cool landmark, or if you go on vacation.
I got something that would be cool. If you can take a picture of your Jay and Jack t-shirt holding up a newspaper from 1996.
What would we do?
That would be cool.
Okay, I thought maybe you had something.
Oh, we can send you. No.
All right. Check that. I put a little slideshow.
I'm just still stuck in this whole time travel thing.
I think I'm actually going to work on maybe an actual little short movie with all the t-shirts. And make some movie
so you can stuff. You can do a movie in that you can't come up with a song for a 25-hour marathon podcast for charity. Nice. That's okay.
So
you know what?
It's appreciating the fans during the movie for, you know, showing their Jay and Jack support.
Okay.
Man. All right. So yeah, check that out. And if take a picture of you in your Jay and Jack shirt and put it up on there.
Yeah.
And also make sure you check out the new Jay and Jack shirts as well on shopsalmonate.com. And also check out our listener forum at lostpodcast.proboards2.com.
Come join the fun where everybody gets along.
Yes.
It's like we're all one big, big family.
Happy family. It has big forum feel, but it's still small at the same time. It's a nice in-between.
Yeah, it's a tweener.
Yeah.
It's a tweener forum.
So you don't feel too intimidated to come in and join the Lost discussion.
Yeah, I sometimes get afraid. I get some of these. I'm afraid to speak because I don't want anyone to hammer
say,
me.
Good job, stupid.
Send it to, you know, you're an idiot.
But none of that there. It's part of the rules. No.
We might say it behind your back.
No, but never to your face.
We take the gutless approach.
All right, Jack. Wait,
also, we have the coming up in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks, the Marathon Podcast for Autism.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of great guests lined up. People have asked how they can listen to it. They can listen to it on TalkShoe.com as we're recording. We're going to record it on a separate feed, right?
Yeah, it's going to be
on its own separate feed.
And they're going to be like increments of like an hour and a half.
Yeah,
will
be released in you know, hour and a half, 2 hour segments.
Uh-huh.
This is who we have lined up so far: Jorge Garcia.
Jorge Garcia,
you might have heard of him.
He's Hurley on Lost.
Yes, Jimmy from the Comic News Insider.
Yep. 1/4 of Jake Wadded.
Right. Ryan and Jen. Ryan, who has a song. Jen, who doesn't.
Jeez, man, make me feel like a jerk.
I'm just saying that, you know, Jen's been on the Ramblecast twice and you didn't write a song for her. I guess it's not important. You know, some people, you know, they don't care about having...
Actually, I was talking to Ryan earlier. We came up with maybe the idea of doing top 10 most influential albums of all time. Albums. Come on, you got your movies. I should get my album.
So on the... okay, so top 10...
most influential
albums that changed the way we look at music.
Yes.
The way we look at life.
Yeah, it could impact your life, life in general, and music, the music scene.
How it affected myself personally, or how it affected the world?
Personally and the world.
Or just an album I liked.
It could be like, but it's most influential, so you have to give a reason for why it changed your life.
I got to come up with reasons, too. I can't just throw it out there like, you know, Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, you can't do that. I mean, like, I choose Led Zeppelin because
because this song...
No, but not just Led Zeppelin, like Led Zeppelin, Physical Graffiti, the actual album. You can't choose the band.
Wow.
Or like the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
How it affected me and how it changed the world.
Maybe not just you, or maybe just the world. You can do both, wow. Or just one or the other.
So with Jorge, we're doing the top 10... Okay, so we got with Ryan and Jen, it's top 10 albums that changed the way we looked at music.
Most influential. Okay. So influence.
Okay. With Ralph, we're doing top 40 movies of all time.
Yep.
With Jorge, we're doing top 10 movies.
Bad guys, good guys.
Coolest, toughest guys. So coolest, like, so guys. Like one of Clint Eastwood's characters from a movie, not just
or cool Hanlu.
Not just cool
character,
like a character from that movie. Top 10. Okay. All right. So top 10. All right, got it.
All right.
All right. So top 10, and then we also got a. Kurt Yanko from the Black Rock podcast said he'll join us. I haven't worked out a time with him yet. And Josh from the Josh Meister podcast.
Oh, cool.
Said he's going to join us for a segment or so. Still working on times with those guys. I got to get this all worked together. I think it's easier just to be the guy just behind the mic than organizing this.
See? Ha!
But I think it'll go off without a hitch and definitely producer of the year. But that's not what we're going for. That's what we're going for. And the new I forgot to mention in the last episode. The new contest, because people are asking what it's going to be. There's going to be 5 episodes because they're doing 8.
Uh huh.
And then they're coming. That's what I've heard.
Uh huh.
And they're coming back with 5 episodes.
Well, they're going to do 7 and then come back with 5. I
heard it
was 6.
I thought it was 8.
I thought they're going to stop at 7.
Are they stopping at 7?
Yeah, because the 8th one isn't a good one to stop on. All right.
Whatever they come back with, if it's 6 episodes, whatever hasn't been discussed this season.
Uh huh.
That will make up the questions. So if there's 6, the contest you guys have already entered, that covers the whole season.
Okay,
that's the whole season. The second contest will cover what's ever left.
Okay.
So and that'll have its own separate email address. It'll be like probably LP contest at two.
Okay.
Instead of LP contest.
All right.
Have its own separate thing. So that's what we'll work on, and I'll have those.
Or actually, I think I could organize your LP contest to have its own separate section.
Whatever it's going to have,
yeah.
It's going to be separate.
We'll announce it, yeah.
But that will, the questions will be announced not on that Thursday of the final episode.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be the next show that we do, the Monday episode. I'll have the questions ready, and you'll have a month to get your answers in.
Okay.
And this will be one of those things you can't enter 3 weeks after the episodes have aired.
Yeah,
it's got
to
be
a deadline.
It's got a deadline. You got to be on that deadline.
Yeah,
just make it fair and stuff like that. So, and like I said, we'll have all the information. We're looking forward to that marathon podcast. We're really gearing up for it. I know Jay's excited. He can't wait to start writing the song as soon as we're done recording. You'll have this song.
Actually, I have to get ready. I'm going to New York for my spring break week.
So, top 10 albums of all time.
You guys might see me at all the Apple stores all day long.
Dork.
Actually, I was in the Apple store in Raleigh yesterday, and somebody was wearing a Dharma t-shirt.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a small world.
Small world, yes, sir.
You just say, hey, how come you don't recognize me?
No, I didn't say that.
You were jumping up and down. I'm Jay.
It's me. You have to know me.
Yeah, that's what you usually do.
No,
that's
come
what
on.
You did. That's what you did. You came down for breakfast today. You did that.
Also, we might have a sponsor for next Thursday's show.
Really?
So if you hear something like this episode's brought to you by so-and-so, don't be shocked.
Don't throw things at the at your iPod.
Yeah.
That you're mad at us.
But we might have one, so just be prepared. All right?
Okay. All right.
So is that it?
There was something else, but I can't find it.
Okay. Poor Jack. His brain is
my
like
brain,
fried.
My brain is fried. You know, you get old and get all... I'm a kid. This episode was just crazy. I swear to God, if they had an episode next week, if Kate was deciding on who, if she wanted to pick Jack, I'd be great. I don't care.
You need a breather.
I need a breather. I need.
Well, from what it looks like, we're not going to get a breather.
I need a hiatus, and just now I got to go back and watch the preview because I'm so jacked up about watching next week's episode.
All right,
crazy show.
We'll see you guys this Thursday, or next.
Oh,
next Friday
I know what it was.
Morning.
I know what it was.
Okay.
The first set is going to be the Married Man podcast. With Dale. And,
oh, okay, yes.
And so we don't have any questions
we should
right
do
now.
Like a top 10 something to do with marriage.
No. Enough questions. Enough okay. Top 10 list. No. I'd be afraid to hear what Dale's top 10 reasons are. Why don't we just do Dale's top 10 reasons why he wants to be married? How about that?
Okay.
Or
how about 10 top worst dates for Dale?
I think he's already had that. But we need questions for that.
Okay.
And if you have a question, send it to marriedmanpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, it's marriedmanpodcast@gmail.com. That's what I had to say.
All right.
So I got that out of my head, and I feel better.
Okay. All right.
I'm in a happy place right now.
On that note, hasta luego, and goodbye.
Bye.